We'd first like to thank the sponsor of tonight's class. Larry and Pearl Schoen, thank you for sponsoring today's class in loving memory of Larry's mother, Sheva, and obviously for Refuah Shlema of Chaim Leibish Velvel Ben Sheva. Mirz Hashem, we should see Larry soon in good health and good spirits, and the class should also be Le'ilo Nishmas, his mother, his father. Okay. We have the Parsha of Vayetze. On Tuesday, I mentioned how this first episode in the Parsha is just ripe for some good Hasidish of Artlach. And I will hopefully show you some of those. We know that the Parsha starts off with Yaakov coming out of Beersheva, Vayelech Harana. He's not only leaving Beersheva, he's also going to Haran. That's actually a part from the Beis HaLevi, but not going to get into it now. He comes to this place, Vayifka Bamakom, which we talked about on Tuesday, is referring to davening. He davened Maariv. And almost every Hasidish Rebbe has the same shtickle on that, including Pshischa, so I'll mention it just in passing, which is, and I think I mentioned it on Tuesday also, that there's a certain message that even in the darkest of times, we still have tefillah to fall back on. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is doing here. Vayifka Bamakom, Vayon Sham. Even though he is going to sleep at night, he still davens in the darkness to make sure that his journey goes well, and so too we can all do the same. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about the stones. Famous medrash about the stones. You might remember from day school, Yaakov Avinu comes to the place where he's going to lay down, and it says the pasuk vayikach me'avne hamakom vayasim rashosav. He takes from the stones of the place and he puts it around his head, by his head, around his head. An interesting machlokas here. Maybe I'll talk about this on Shabbos. Maybe not. About what order you say Hamalach versus what order you say Shema versus Hamapil. Interesting. I think there's a source from this pasuk that comes from that about danger versus protection, things like that. But either way, so the pasuk says that he took from the stones. Rashi famously says that he took multiple stones. And later he says afterwards, when it says Vaikachas Ha'Even, he takes the stone. So Rashi famously brings from the Medrash. The Ramban doesn't agree with this, because Vaikach Me'avnei Hamakom doesn't mean he took multiple stones. It means he took of the stones. Could it have been only one stone? But either way, Rashi tells us Hischilu Merivo Zuimzu. They started to fight with one another. Right, he took 12 stones, each for one for each shevet that would come from him. Zosomeres, this stone said, Alai aniach tzadik es rosho. This one said, I want the tzadik to lay down on me. Zosomeres, Alai aniach tzadik. This is what the tzadik should lay down on me. I want him. Miyad, immediately, Asana Kadosh Baruch Hu Evan Achas. Hashem made them into one big stone. That's Rashi. That all these stones combine to create one big stone. Now, it's not exactly clear what the lesson from that Rashi is, right? We're going to say one in a second. But they're fighting with another. Is this a zealous fighting? This is a proud fighting that they all want to be part of the tzaddik's sleep in the Makom HaMikdash. Should they be fighting? Should they not be fighting? In the end of the day, the one big stone seems to imply that there's a certain level of praise in their unity. They all wanted the same thing. Hashem made it so that they could all be the pillow of Yaakov HaTzadik, Yaakov Avinu, and they became one big stone. Not exactly the most comfortable of pillows, but nonetheless, they're together, you're unified. Says Rev Avram Mordechai Alter Migor, also known, I believe, as the Imri Emes, the son of the Svas Emes. He says, Sof, Maho il Kadosh Baruch Hu B'takanaso. What did this help? That Hashem made all of them come together? Hare Rosho Shel Yaakov Hayamunach Rak Aktsasa Shel Evan. No matter how you situate the stone, Yaakov's head could only be on one side of it. Right? So if you're going to take all the stones, you're going to put them all together. Some of the stones are going to be in the bottom, some of them are on the side. One of them will be on the top, but you're jumbling them all together. It's not as if everybody is right underneath the tzaddik's head. Why aren't they still arguing? I think this is a famous question. A lot of people talk about it. Why aren't they still arguing? The fact that the evens come together doesn't help the fact that Yaakov's head is only on one of them. So why shouldn't they still be? Why shouldn't they still be arguing? Says the Imre Emes. V'shuv yeshmakom lariv ben chalkayev. They should still be disagreeing. Ella says the Imre Emes. Kishe yesh achdus. When people have true unity, ein kina v'ein kitata. The message of the stones coming together is not that all of a sudden they're all underneath Yaakov Avinu's head, but rather what it means is that once they come together, they no longer care whose head, whose stone Yaakov's head lays on. Because once you have true unity, you realize the value in each other. You realize that what's good for them is good for you because you care about them. So whereas at the beginning they were all separate and distinct and they all had their own personal agendas, when they all came together, what that did was it broke down the boundaries, right? Wedding today, Avi and Elena Snyder. So Elena walks around Avi as if to symbolize that the walls of Yericho are coming down, that there's a barrier which was between them and now they're coming together. So to hear the stones were disparate, they were distinct from each other. When they came together, they unified in a sense, not to say that we're all going to be the same, that we're all going to have Yaakov Avinu sitting on top of us, laying on top of us, but rather, now that we're all together, it doesn't matter who of us gets Yaakov Avinu's head. It's a great lesson in unity because it teaches you that unity is not about uniformity. Unity doesn't mean that we all have to be the same, that we all have to get our same piece of the pie, that we all have to get exactly the same as each other. What unity means is that we're willing to sacrifice on behalf of the other because we're together, because we're unified. We've talked about this in other examples also. Ki'ishachad b'levachad versus b'levachad ki'ishachad of Mitzrayim. We talked about that before, but not for now. But this is a beautiful insight from the Imre Emes that while the stones were separated, it also gives you the message of what the Medrash is telling you. As I said before, it's not exactly clear what the Medrash is telling you. And in this understanding of the Medrash, the Imre Emes says that the first time where the stones were fighting was bad. It wasn't that Hashem is rewarding the stones that they all came together because they all wanted to be under Yaakov Avinu. It's that they were all doing the wrong thing and looking out only for themselves. And in order to fix that, Hashem brings them all together, right? It's a repairment, not a reward, which is just an interesting way to look at the Medrash. I'm not exactly sure that's how the day school teachers teach it. But an interesting interpretation nonetheless about what unity means, caring for each other, not necessarily wanting for yourself by joining in with others. I wanted to pick up on a little bit of that when Yaakov Avinu takes that stone, right? What does he do with the stone? Right? He makes that Evan into a Mizbeach, into a Bama, whatever you want to call it. What does it say? Give me one second here. I don't want to quote it from memory. So he says, "Vashkem Yaakov b'boker b'yikachas ha'evin asher samar asher sav v'yasam asam atzivah v'yitzok shemen al rosha." And he pours some oil over it, a libation of sorts. "Vayikra Hashem makom ahu beis el v'ulam luz shem il rishona." "Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor." Right, he says neder that if Hashem is with me, I'll be with him. And then he finishes off the pasuk, the last pasuk in Rishon, the Ha'evan Hazos, and this stone, Asher Samti Matseva, that I made into some kind of Mizbeach, Yihyeh Beis Elokim, this shall be the home of Hashem. V'cho Asher Titen Li, and anything Hashem that is given to me from Hashem, Aser Asrenu Lach, I'll give it back to him a tenth. Says the Sakat Shavar, Rav Shmuel of Sakat Shav, the son of the Avdenezer. The son of the Avdenezer says the following, "V'ha'evan azos, asher samti matzeva, yiyya beis Elokim." This stone, which I made as a Mizbeach, will be the home of Hashem. Says the Sefer Shemesh, Shem Yishmuel, a beautiful idea, "Gam mi shelibo hu lev ha'evan." Even someone who has a heart of stone, Viz Ha'evan Hazos, this heart of stone, Ta'amod lo zuchuso shel Yaakov. The merit of Yaakov will stand for him, sheyuchal lehisalos anshu atzmo, until he himself yihyeh mador lashchina, beis Elokim. Even a stone, even the hardest of substances, can ultimately become a place for Hashem. No matter how dry you feel, no matter how difficult it is for you to feel like you can connect to Hashem, ultimately you should know, just like Rabbi Akiva teaches, right? The drop that comes into the stone, slowly but surely, that too can become a Beis Elokim. That too can be a house of Hashem. No matter how hard, no matter how coarse that stone is, it doesn't matter. It can always be a Beis Elokim. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is teaching future generations. As we know, this whole episode is saturated with eternal messages for the Jewish people, right? The Malachi Elokim, Olim V'Yardimbo, the measure talking about different kingdoms that we're going to have to face in the future. So this too is part of that message, according to the Sakat Shavar, according to the Shem Yishmuel. It's teaching us, though, no matter how hard your heart seems, no matter how disconnected or uninterested you seem, it can always become a Beis Elokim. It can always be penetrated, just like Rabbi Akiva taught us. Moving into the children, I spoke on Tuesday also that there's a lot to talk about in terms of the children. I'll give a Thanksgiving drasha after this one, which is not necessarily from Pshischa, but I think is an important one nonetheless. Vatomer, she says, meaning Leah, right? Leah has Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and then Yehuda. She says to herself, according to Rashi, I know that there's supposed to be 12 Shvatim, and there are four of us that are supposed to have children with Yaakov. Everyone's supposed to get three. Yehuda's number four. Says the Chiddush Sha'arim, based on the pasuk, Hapam Odeas Hashem. Now I'm going to thank Hashem, Alken Karash Shemo Yehuda. Interesting. Gemara tells us that she was the first one to thank anybody. It's very strange. What does that mean? We'll talk about that in a second. Hapam Odeh Shenatalti Yoser Michalki. Says Leah, I got more than I bargained for. Me'ata Yeshli Hodos. Now that I got more than I'm worthy of, more than I deserve, that's when I have to give thanks. What does the word Hoda'ah mean? The word Hoda'ah means to admit, to confess, to realize that you yourself couldn't have done it by yourself. It's only because of somebody else. And that's what we do with modim, right? Modim na'achdulach means that we're thanking Hashem and also admitting, lahodot, to admit, to confess that we couldn't have done it without Hashem. Says the Chiddush Sha'arim, Al kein kara shemo Yehuda, that's why he calls him Yehuda, v'chol echad mi'Yisrael, nikra Yehudi al shemo. We're all called Yehuda. We're all named after this naming. So it would behoove us to understand what is the point of it. Ki shemo hu al shem shevach v'hodaya, hapam odes Hashem. Shekol Yehudi says the Chiddush Sha'arim, tzarech ladas, shekol mashu notel min ha'olam, harehu yoser mechelko. Everything we have in the world, we should look at it as if it's more than we deserve. Every single Jewish person has to recognize at every moment of their life that we get more than we deserve, right? We talk about this a lot in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the words that we use in terms of what we deserve, what we don't deserve. And him comes the Chiddush Sha'arim here and says that we're all called Yehudim based on this concept, based on this fact, that we get more than we deserve. Yehuda in his own life, we know, as we'll learn in the next few weeks, makes many mistakes in his life. And he's always willing to own up to them. And he's always willing to, he's always willing with that humility to therefore also thank Hashem, knowing that he doesn't deserve it based on what he's done. Interesting concept from Esav. I'm not going to talk about that right now. But I wanted to finish off with a Thanksgiving message from the naming of Yosef. What does it say when Yosef was born? Hold on, let me get to it. I'm not sure that it's going to be in here. Vayhi kasher yalda Rachel es Yosef, when Rachel has Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov alavan shalcheni v'alcha, oh, that's the different pasuk. She has Yosef. This is pasuk chaf hey in Perek Lamed, probably before that. Let me see it. Pasuk Perek Lamed, pasuk chaf hey. Let's go to Chav Gimel. Vatar vatelir ben vatomer. Asaf Elokim escher pasi. Hashem has gathered up my shame. What does that mean, gathered up my shame? Presumably on a literal level it means she didn't have a child. It was very difficult for her to watch all the other people, all the other women have children, and she couldn't do it. And now Asaf Hashem escher pasi. However, she says the next pasuk, Yosef li ben acher, right? That I want another one. Right, so it's unclear. Is she naming Yosef because Asaf Hashem Eschar Pasi, Hashem has gathered up my shame, or is it because Yosef Li Ben Acher? It's not 100% clear. What does Rashi say? Hold on. Shayisi Lecherpa, Shani Akara. So says Rashi, the literal understanding, as I said before, I was barren, and people would make fun of me. That I should go to Esav because that's my lot. Va'agada comes the Medrash to tell us, according to Rashi, calls man she'ein le'isha ben, ein la b'mi litlos sarchona. Anytime a woman doesn't have a child, she has no one to blame. Right? If something goes wrong in the house, it's always her fault. Mishayesh la ben, however, once she has a child, tol abo, mi shavar. Mishavar klizeh b'nech. Who broke this plate? Oh, that was your son, the little kid. If your son wasn't there, so it'll be your fault. Mi achal te'enim. Who ate those figs? B'necha. It was your son, right? The little kid is always blamed. So what is Rachel saying? Oh, Hasaf Hashem ischer pasi. Baruch Hashem, I have a child. He has gathered up all of my shame. Because now if our plate breaks, I'll blame it on him. What a strange midrash. Rachel is thanking Hashem for the fact that she no longer is going to get blamed for little tedious things that happen around the house. So while it sounds very, very insignificant, I think that's exactly the point. I don't remember who I heard this from. It might have been Rabbi Strach of France. I don't remember who he was quoting from. But the point is that Rachel was willing to thank Hashem and be grateful for Hashem for even the smallest of things. And we talked about this a little bit last week on Tuesday afternoon when we talked about Yaakov, who cared about the Ekev, right? The smallest things in life, the things that Kol Dashin Bo. So perhaps the idea behind this is also that Rachel was showing us that there's what to be thankful for even in the smallest of things when it comes to life. And even just the fact that she could blame her son for something is itself worthwhile for thanking. And if you remember, as the Sfas Emes says, when we thank Hashem for the small things, when we focus on the small things, that's really when we notice, that's really when we show our appreciation. Because the big things are easy to appreciate. Someone gives you a really nice gift. So you say thank you and you're so appreciative because you got something really good out of it. But it's the small things which don't really matter. If you show appreciation for those small things, you're not showing appreciation because of what you got out of it. You're showing appreciation for the other person who gave it to you. And it's specifically the small things that are the most indicative of that relationship that you have with the other person. So while Thanksgiving is all about thanking for the big things and thanking for all the people that are on the outside explicitly doing things for us, it's also relevant to point out the small things that other people do, because the small things are really the big things in terms of relationships. When you thank someone else for the small things, you really show how much it matters to you. So for instance, if you're eating at somebody's house, and you love their food, don't say that food was so delicious. Say, I loved the salt content in those mashed potatoes. It was just perfect. I loved, if you pay attention to the little details, you'll notice that people really think that you appreciate them, because that's really what it is. If you're really noticing the small things, so then you're really paying attention and you're really appreciating what they did, as opposed to just saying, oh, it was great. Food was great, right? Because that's a generalized thanks that doesn't necessarily mean much. But the real things is in the details, in the small things. That's another drasha, not really from Shisra, but somewhat of a Hasidic teich on this Rashi that you can take with you for Thanksgiving. And Mirtz Hashem, everyone should have a wonderful rest of the Thanksgiving weekend. Hopefully you still have some time off so you can enjoy it. But if not, enjoy the next 4 hours that you have of it. And Mirtz Hashem, we should continue to be thankful, not just today, but as Jews, and saying those who say Modim and Achnu Lach every single day, we should continue to be grateful, continue to be thankful. Shacharis tomorrow morning is like a regular weekday, 7 o'clock. And Daf Yomi, this is for David Barth, who might not have seen the WhatsApp group. Daf Yomi tomorrow is at 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, because nobody's working. So those of you who would like to sleep in, we're not going to make you wake up at 6:15. Okay. A little semblance of vacation for the Daf Yomi group tomorrow. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.